Between the years of 1967 and 1972, over 300 commercial airplanes were hijacked worldwide. This period would become known as the Golden Age of hijacking. The new podcast, American Skyjacker, is the tale of a small-time crook named Martin Mac McNally, who dreamed of the ultimate mile-high score. Listen and subscribe to American Skyjacker on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And once again, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you got a little rain wherever you were.
I did.
Hope you're having a good day today. I want to tell you one more time about that we are combining up, teaming up with Loveless Healthcare Systems to bring you the best of the quarantine, meaning you can vote now at newsradiokqb.com on everything from, best breakfast takeout, best lunch takeout, best dinner takeout, best restaurant patio, best brewery patio, your favorite traffic report from Kit Missile ever. Yeah, that's on there, man. Okay. Anyway, yeah, just, for voting, you'll be entered to win a $50 restaurant gift certificate. And if you're a top business winner, you could receive a $2,000 advertising campaign. So vote now at newsradiokkob.com. So, Stuffy's. So you're really happy that you found out that Stuffy's now that still exists?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so going there.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to eat it.
God, I've been there in ages.
I know, me neither. I thought they went away. I thought they closed all their locations. But Juan Thibault, north of Lomas, apparently, they're right there. And I'll be seeing you, Stuffies.
Having a conversation earlier about your favorite fast food restaurants. So, let's see. BV said Whataburger. I didn't really vote. I gotta go with Lauterburger. I mean, local chain, you know. And then there is Stuffy's now that we know they exist. So, all right, we got Kit Missile coming up in 10 seconds. Then we're going to be talking to Pavlos Panagopoulos about what's going on in the financial world and in the economy. Hold on. All right, thanks for listening to you. Drop BV, Kit, and Larry, and on the hotline with us right now. From Satira Advisor Networks, that would be Pavlos Panagopoulos. How's Greek life treating you?
Hey, it's good. We're not going to have a Greek festival this year, but you know what? I'll get my fix of baklava, maybe a little ouzo.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be good. You know, you're in a generous mood. You can always drop some off too, man.
Yes, if Mickey makes some, I'll definitely bring it by your studio. But you're actually calling from home, so
yeah,
I'll be at your house.
Yeah, well, we'll make it.
We can ride our swins together.
I'm telling you, man, we were bike shamed.
I know what that's like. I got a swin myself, and you know, they're passing me like I'm standing still.
Yeah, exactly. So, thanks for being on. Appreciate it. So, okay, so yeah, obviously no Greek festival this year. So that's a bummer.
I know, so. Virtual Balloon Festival, and you know, no Greek festival, but definitely we can go have some Greek food. There's a new, actually a new ownership on the Euros over there by Frontier Restaurant. A guy named Panos just took over, and he has some awesome Greek food. So maybe we could go down there to Central and have some Greek food.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. All right, let's get into this.
Okay.
Because I ask you this every single time we talk lately. Stock market is breaking records. I mean, we got NASDAQ at a record. We got the S&P at a record. We got the Dow that is you can see the record on the horizon with the Dow. And this is all going on during a pandemic and during a recession caused by the pandemic. So I ask you again, why? Because it doesn't make sense. Specifically, because of the uncertainty in the markets right now. So tell me, Pavlos, what is going on?
You're assuming the market is rational, and, you know, people tend to get overly enthusiastic about stocks, especially if they're splitting or whatever, and they kind of run them up. That's kind of momentum investing, and we've seen this before. Again, you know, some investors try to bet against the market, but like I always tell them is the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent.
Yeah, well, sure. But All that said, the market is irrational. The market moves on emotion. It moves on fear. It moves on confidence.
And greed. And we're seeing that in the market right now. There's a lot of momentum going on. There's actually an article in today's Barron's magazine talking about the enthusiasm of the market is at an all-time high. And, of course, 100% of the time when the enthusiasm has been this high, the market has fallen. But, you know, the question is, when is it going to fall? And are we kind of in a bubble? Again, you might say some of the stocks, you know, the FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, Tesla, you throw in Microsoft as well. Those stocks, you know, the NASDAQ's up over 33% this year. But if you take those stocks out of the S&P 500, DJ, would you believe the market's down negative 5%? So you're talking about S&P 500, you take out the five best stocks. So, you know, forget the S&P 500, call it the S&P 5, right?
Yeah.
You're down for the year, and if you invested in the bottom 25%, you'd be down negative 28%. So like I try to tell my clients, it's not just a stock market, it's a market of stocks.
Yeah, well, okay, I get that.
I may miss out on a lot of gains, but back in the late 1989, 1990, the S&P 500 went up 100%. That was right after my son Peter was born. And so the market that year went up 100%. But then, TJ, it took 18 years for you to be back even. So the market went from like 2,500 to 5,000. 18 years later, when Peter graduated from high school, the market was at 5,000 on the NASDAQ. So, again, like I said, you know, people can start putting money in the market and thinking it's going to keep going up. But then, you know, if you got 18 years to wait, you know, you might buy at these all-time highs.
Okay, well, listen, the market, I mean, when is, in your opinion, when do you think, how long is this run going to last? I mean, is it going to last till the election day? I mean, you're right, it can't keep going up forever.
Right, and there'll be a lot of people that put money in, and of course the insiders will sell their stock, you know, because Wall Street always is trying to sell people stuff that they want to, you know, Wall Street's trying to sell it, so they're going to sell it to the public. So the small investor is usually wrong, and institutions, you know, they basically use this time of this momentum to unload some of their expensive stocks on, unsuspecting and unsophisticated investors. And so I always try to tell my clients, if it's too good to be true,
yeah,
TJ, it probably is, right?
Yeah, I like what you just said, too. The small investor is usually wrong.
Right.
Wait. Then why do we hire people like you?
Because you are emotional about your investments. I'm not. So having somebody like myself, I'm not emotional about my clients investing. But when you see these stocks split and you get all excited and you're like, oh, my gosh, it's going to double again and it's going to double. And, gosh, I missed out. It's that fear of missing out. You know, your friends are telling you, gosh, you should have been in that stock, or, gosh, look how much money I put in. But you know, TJ and I know, that your neighbor always tells you what great stock they bought, but they never tell you about the one they lost on, right? They never tell you, you know, about the WorldCom or the Enron that they lost on. They're always going to tell you about the one that they, you know, hit it big, right? It's like it's a gambler's mentality.
Well, sure. Yeah, sure, because they're smart, they're all-knowing, they always make good decisions. They never made a bad decision.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Never get advice from your brother-in-law. That's the point.
Yeah, believe me. Yeah, I took advice from somebody like that once, and it was not good advice. All right, talking to Pavlos Panagopoulos, Cetera Advisor Networks. I want to get into what's going on out in the streets now. How does that affect things? How does the election affect things? So we'll take this up after we do some traffic with Kit. Hold on, 10 seconds. All right, got about 20 past. TJ Drop BV. We got Pavlos Panagopoulos from Cetera Advisor Networks. So I guess I'm still in the doom and gloom, Pavlos, and I mean, you keep telling me I shouldn't be, but not only now that we have a pandemic, but we have unrest in the streets too. It seems to me another reason why the market should be skittish right now, but they're not.
And basically, you know, what you think might happen usually is the opposite. I know that sounds crazy, but I put a link on our webpage, myfinancialsense.com, and it's the 10 truths of no matter who wins the election. And one of those 10 truths is basically, you know, historical narrative is not the way you remember it. Oftentimes, you know, we think, gosh, you know, 9/11 happened. I remember the crash of 1987. That year, in 87, TJ, would you remember the market was up that year?
I remember
barely,
buying
but,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I bought a house in 87.
Right. Remember what the interest rate was. So now we think, gosh, interest rates are really low, which is they are. But back in the 50s, interest rates were, you know, 3 or 4% for houses. And then you and I bought houses back in the 80s, and we remember getting interest rates at 9 or 10%. Yeah. So it seems really low to get a 3 or 4% mortgage rate now. But, again, historically, you know, that's where mortgage rates have traded. You know,
yeah,
so again,
I was going to say my first mortgage rate was 9.5, man.
That's what mine was. And I actually, I got an adjustable rate mortgage back in the early 80s and thought, gosh, you know, the rate's probably going to go down. So, I mean, who would be caught dead getting an adjustable rate right now with these low interest rates?
Oh, you'd be crazy. You'd be insane. So, okay, we may have talked about this before, but, I mean, really, how much does a Democrat versus a Republican in office really change things? Because it seems to me, I'm thinking the economy generally does just fine when there's a Democrat in power, despite what you might hear.
Exactly. I mean, if you go back, and again, we put some charts on our webpage, myfinancialsense.com. You can download the historical situation between Democrats and Republicans. And would you believe, TJ, the best performing market was under Republican, actually Ronald Reagan, but the worst performing market was also under Republican, George Bush Jr. So, you know, you're right, it doesn't really matter the parties over the long term. Even with Barack Obama, we saw the market rally right after the financial crisis in 2008. And so, you know, even Donald Trump, they said, gosh, you know, I think Mark Cuban said the market's going to crash if Donald Trump is elected. And, you know, now the market's at all-time high. So,
right.
So much for Mark Cuban, right?
Right.
Maybe
Maybe
he should stick to basketball.
Yeah, well, right, you're right. Shut up and dribble. Is that what you're telling him?
Pooch or whatever he's doing.
Right. So let's look at what went on during COVID. Because there are a lot of languishing industries.
Oh, hotels, restaurants.
Yeah, hotels, airlines.
Airlines, hospitality. I mean, those have been devastated. Some of those stocks are down 78%. So remember, I told you, TJ, it's not a stock market. It's a market of stocks. And again, not being in those five high-tech stocks, you've missed out on a lot, too. Gold has been another one that's been up. You know, gold miners are up almost 43% this year. The gold miners index, and so again, it depends on what you're in. And healthcare
I'm going to ask you about healthcare coming up in a second, but let's talk about the ones that are kind of like swirling the toilet right now, right around the edge, right around the rim right now, about, you know, ready to go down. Like we're talking about hospitality, restaurants, airlines, cruise ships, energy stocks are bad right now.
How many retail bankruptcies have we seen? I mean, sure.
But my point is, all right, right now, when do you say, okay, these look like a pretty good bargain? When should somebody jump into the bottom knowing that they're going to come back up?
Right. You know, I mean, remember one fund manager, Jean-Marie Riard, he always said being a hardcore value investor is a dangerous profession, almost as dangerous as catching falling knives. So, yeah, it can be a little tenuous, right? You know,
right.
You got to have a little fortitude to buy some of these undervalued stocks. Even Warren Buffett, you know, he bought right the day World War II was announced, and he bought every stock on the New York Stock Exchange, 100 shares of stock that was trading for less than $1 a share. He actually made more money on the bankrupt stocks than he did the stocks that were, you know, going concerns. So, again, it does take fortitude to buy when, you know, doom and gloom. Now everybody's piling in, trying to find the next, you know, tech darling or the next bubble that's going to be out there. So,
yeah, but I guess if somebody like you, again, I'm representing what you do, is somebody you have to go to and say, okay, let's look at energy. Energy's in the toilet right now. Which one of these is going to come back and come back well?
Well, I would say really for most investors, look at the quality ones. You know, the strong always get stronger. And then low prices for oil is, you know, one of the ways of solving low prices is low prices, right? As long as oil stays low, then production starts getting capped. Here in New Mexico, I think there was like 784 wells in the United States, and now we're down to 200 active wells. So with oil prices being low, they cap the wells, and then there's no supply, and guess what? The price of oil eventually goes back up.
I see.
So, you know, basically, you're right. It's hard to be a value investor, especially since growth investing has been such in vogue, and, of course, momentum investing with this pandemic has been the place to be. People are piling into healthcare, piling into technology, and avoiding energy and financials, You know, I mean, even lumber prices, TJ, have doubled in price. Can you believe lumber has doubled in price?
All right, Dave, we're talking to got to take a break. Pavlos Panagopoulos, Sedera Advisor Networks. Get back to him, talk about more of this, about this stuff, what to do with your retirement, if you're going to retire in the next maybe 5 years or less. All right, 96.3 News Radio, KKLB, hold on. All right, thanks for listening. As always, appreciate it. TJ Trout and BB. We got Pavlos Panagopoulos on the hotline with us from Sedera Advisor Networks. I'm going to ask you to speculate. I'm going to ask you to just give me an opinion. So in an election year, Pavlos, there's always hot air given to bringing manufacturing jobs back to the United States. Now, given the world situation, what global markets are right now, what are the chances of that ever happening, really?
I got to sell you some swampland in Florida. How's that sound?
Right, right. Okay, so basically right now the United States is a service industry economy. Is that correct?
And technology. You heard what I just said.
And technology.
If you have kids, get them involved in technology.
Right.
Teach them how to, you know, we've got to teach our kids to be technology-oriented, and we've got to teach our kids to, you know, use their cell phones and be tech-savvy.
Well, isn't that, I mean, that's the key to the whole thing. I mean, is you have to educate yourself for what the future is going to look like. And it's like, it seems like a lot of us here in this country are a little slow on that uptake at this point. And this is what Wolfgang was saying. He's saying, yeah, the automation, too, is going to take over so many jobs, and there won't be much for people to do. So we got to find things for people to do. I mean, if you know, it's going to be a real problem.
They can sit on their couch and listen to TJ Trout.
Well, yeah, that'll get you a long way in this world.
You know,
yeah.
this pandemic has kind of been a small case study in what would happen if that did happen. People,
right. It's accelerated everything.
Yeah.
You see that, Brandon?
Yeah.
I mean, everything has just been accelerated. All the things that were happening, the layoffs, you know, basically technology, you know, replacing people, and like you said, automation has just been accelerated just because of the pandemic.
So you would think that the powers that be, boy, we're having a really like philosophical discussion, man.
Also,
you would think that the powers that be will recognize this, and they say, okay, we're going to have a real problem the next 10, 20 years. We're going to have all these people. And
TJ, you and Brandon have got to realize that the politicians, elections coming up, they're very, very concerned about unemployment, but they're not concerned about your unemployment or Brandon's unemployment or Pablo's unemployment. They're concerned about their own unemployment, and that's November 3rd. Job interview, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but I'm talking about people that aren't even, you know, people like the G8 or whatever, who aren't involved in politics, or people that are thinking that the think tanks have to be thinking, how are we going to employ humans going forward? We got to give people things to do, you know. And that, you know, this ties into what you and me are talking about right now, you know, because this obviously affects the economy.
Right. It's a scary world we're sending our children into. You remember China had a one-child policy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's a telltale sign. You know, this coronavirus has accelerated everything that we've already been seeing happening in the economy, where, you know, layoffs and automation, you know, basically taking over. And so there's a lot of insecurity there for workers here in the United States, and all of us baby boomers, TJ, are getting ready to retire. We're close to retirement. We're worried about our investments. We're worried about our portfolios. Will we have enough money to survive? And, you know, the prices are going up. Go to the store and you see the prices going up. And can we afford to put our children in houses? Housing prices are at all-time high, and they're going through the roof. I mean, here in New Mexico or in Albuquerque, usually there's about 6,000 houses on the market. Today, there's 640 houses on the market.
Yeah, I know. There's a huge demand. Yeah. You kind of bum me out there, Pavlos.
No, I'm just, you know.
I'm kidding. Hey, listen, got to take another break. We'll be back and continue this conversation with Pavlos Panagopoulos, Sedera Advisor Networks. Kit Missile in 10 seconds. Hold on. All right, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. TJ Trout, BB with Pavlos Panagopoulos, again, Sedera Advisor Networks. Got a little into the realm of economic philosophy there, Pavlos. Apologize for that, but, you know, just, you know, never know where this conversation's going.
So you and Brandon, it's always going to be interesting.
Yeah. So do we need another stimulus, and how soon?
Well, you know, like I said, politicians want to get reelected. So, you know, it's coming probably this month. They're going to come up with some type of compromise. We've already seen the Fed printing trillions of dollars, and so the Fed has kind of been the one supporting this economy. But you'll see Congress and both the Democrats and Republicans probably get together and come up with some type of stimulus plan. Again, that's just more money printing, you know, and again, it'll prime the market and push it a little higher. So I just, you know, basically tell our clients out there, you know, hold fast, keep your feet where they're at, and just enjoy the ride up. After the election, things could change.
Yeah, I would imagine they will. I mean, but the thing is, isn't it true that, you know, the people who are going to get these checks are people that really need them, meaning that they will spend them because they have to spend them, and that money goes right back into the economy, right?
Right, or you know, young people that live with their parents, they may get checks, and they may end up going to like a Robin Hood and buying stocks. You know, who knows what stocks they'll buy? Yeah, that's been, you know, would you believe 25% of all the brokerage accounts were open last month were on, you know, those Robin Hood type of platforms, and they were first time stock investors this year. So it's amazing. Yeah. They have like 38,000 new, you know, brokerage accounts were open.
Yeah, well, you know.
People might invest some of it. You know, again, it's just trying to prime the pump. You remember that guy, Andrew Yang? He was talking about writing a check for everybody. It was funny how his philosophy has come true. And if you think about it, TJ, the majority of people in the United States do not pay federal income tax. They get money back from the government. So they're net getters of money, where there's a small minority of people, you know, basically put in to the, you know, to the tax coffers. And right now we're spending three times more than we're getting in. Can you imagine if you had ran your household that way, if you were spending three times more than you're bringing in?
No, it's terrible. No, it's absolutely terrible. And, you know, I don't know how it's going to stop, but I would imagine one day it has to stop. And,
right.
I mean, we could get into a conversation about entitlements, too, about Social Security and Medicare and all that stuff, but that will get me totally too bummed out, so I really don't want to talk about
that. But, you know, let's just talk about the pandemic. You know, the stock market's a leading indicator, so it's very positive the market's up because it's telling us that this, too, shall pass, this COVID, and things will start picking back up again now. You look at fast food restaurants that do delivery, they're doing great. So companies that have adapted to this pandemic are benefiting from what's happening. And so for our listeners out there, you got to be adaptive in this new, brave new world. And if you're not adapted, you'll get run over. And so, you know, that's what I basically tell clients is be adaptive and you know, keep your powder dry and have some savings and invest as much as you can because the future is uncertain.
All right, there you go. We got to do another traffic. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. I want to talk about retirement with you just for a couple seconds. All right, Kit Missile in 10 seconds.
Oh. Yep.
Oh, Bob, you didn't tell me you were leaving me.
Jeez.
I didn't know about that.
This is awkward.
Uh-oh. Cat's out of the bag, TJ.
Okay.
Yeah,
Bob. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fine. I'll muddle through somehow. All right, listen. All right, Pablos, if you were retiring in the next 2 to 5 years, what would you be doing? What should somebody do? And I know 2 years is different than 5 years, but
right. You know, remember, TJ, our life expectancy is, you know, into our 90s. So, you know, I'm 56. So if I was retiring in a couple of years, I mean, I got a long way. I got to definitely have some. I want to have all beat up old yellow bananas. I want to have some green bananas. So we still need to invest. Long term, and I think a lot of people they get excited when they're getting close to retirement. They go, oh my gosh, I got to get conservative, and you're like thinking, gosh, you still got another 30, 40 years of living to do, and you got to keep up with inflation. And if we live in this zero interest rate world, which are you know getting zero on your savings account, man, that's not going to help you achieve anything, especially if everything at the big box stores are going up, you know, 10-15% per year. So that's what my recommendation is buy some green bananas, TJ.
Buy some green bananas.
That's
right.
It. Don't
right.
Look
so,
long term. Don't get too excited about retiring too soon.
Okay, so if somebody has a little scratch and they got a little set aside, they got a little invested, What? I gotta put that. Is there a time? Is there a time when you're retired? I mean, you protect your principal, right? That's what you. That's kind of like the philosophy I've heard all.
Right, you're trying to put buckets of money, so money that you need in the next 2 or 3 years, you put it in something safe, ultra short, you know, cash type of equivalent. Then you have another bucket for intermediate money, maybe money from 5 to 10 years, and then you have your long term money, your stuff that you're putting out for the long term. You know, things that are going to, you know, change the world, and companies that are, you know, going to be the next technology breakthrough. So you got to, like I said, have your money in different buckets and try not to get too excited about the market. And like you were saying, I mean, Kit Mitchell's talking about all these traffic jams. I'm like, sounds like normal. You know, the market's kind of coming back, but, you know, gasoline consumption is up 38% because everybody in Albuquerque is driving around aimlessly, right? So we got to have something to do, right?
That's what I'm doing.
Throw some gas, right? Or go on our swim bike. Ride our bike or something.
Yeah, our Schwinn bike, right. So, all right, again, a question for retirees. Dividend stocks, probably a pretty good idea.
Yes, and companies that are sustainable companies, companies that have sustainable, you know, returns, the ones that are going to be around, you know, companies that don't get involved in lawsuits and, you know, consumer products and that are not good to their employees. You want companies that are good to their employees and have sustainable dividends and dividends that are growing. And so there are good companies out there that do that. And again, look also at industries that are down. You know, we talk about the energy industry. Energy right now is down. You know, we all need energy. It's a necessity. We need food, energy. Look at things that are the necessities of life, that things that we use every day. Those are the things that you should be invested in.
Porn? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Is there a point in your as you get elderly? I mean, elderly, where you finally say, okay, I'm just going to cash everything in. I got enough cash. I'm just going to put that money in the bank and just live off my savings.
Well, you know, I mean, I heard a story about the 92-year-old. You know, fully invested in stocks. I mean, people invest for the long term. I mean, so even the 92-year-old probably going to leave some inheritance. And again, if people panic and have those knee-jerk reactions. I mean, think about how foolish people felt cashing in right at the bottom of the pandemic. That made a lot of sense. But unless they had a financial advisor holding their hand and saying, hey, TJ, don't cash in. This is not the right time.
Right.
You know, that's our job as investors, you know, and as advisors, is to talk you off the ledge.
Let me tell you something. Inheritance, I don't want any of my relatives to get any of my money. The hell with them.
Hey, I always tell my clients, if you don't go first class, TJ, your heirs certainly will.
That's right. That is absolutely correct. All right, do your disclaimer thing.
Okay, my disclosure here. Securities Investment Advisory Services are offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, and Cetera Advisor Networks is a member of the Securities Investors Protection Corporation. Brandon, TJ, have a great day. And if anybody would like to reach us, it's 828-4068, and our website is myfinancialsense.com. And we'll be on with you hopefully in the next month or two, TJ, so have a great day.
Sounds good, Pablos. Thanks a lot for being on. All right, 96.3 News Radio, KKOB. Hold on.